You know, even though the XFL didn't last long, it's about to have an impact on the 2024 season. We'll break down the latest NFL rule changes. Is Saquon trying to recruit Kelsey out of retirement? And hopefully y'all got a Peacock subscription by week one. All that and more on this week's episode of Second and 15. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Second and 15, a Philadelphia Eagles fan podcast. This is your host, Michael Roscoe, and on this week's episode, we're going to break down some Eagles news, including some more free agency acquisitions, and look at the new rule changes that are coming to the NFL and what to think about those. So let's start off with some of that Eagles news. So the Eagles continue to make free agency moves with a couple new additions. Starting off, we have former Giants and Colts wide receiver Paris Campbell, who signed to a one-year deal with Philly. This will reunite him with Nick Sirianni. The former second-rounder from the 2019 draft has accumulated a career total 117 catches for 1,087 yards and 5 touchdowns. Now, he didn't have the most stellar season last year, but the season before that was one of his highest seasons. I think this is a good depth signing, and I think behind a caliber offense like ours, he has the opportunity to recreate that best season, in which he accumulated 623 yards for 3 touchdowns. He'll look to fulfill a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 kind of role. Obviously, he's not going to start over Smith and Brown. That would be stupid. Additionally, though, he may be in competition for kick returning with Isaiah Rodgers once he's reinstated, as Campbell has shown to be a reliable kick returner in his rookie season. Now, subsequently, the Eagles just signed former Cowboys/Patriots quarterback Will Greer to a one-year deal. A popular backup within the Dallas community, Greer will be reunited with Kellen Moore on an offense looking to bounce back from the dark days of Brian Johnson. Now, for as long as he's been in the NFL, he's only actually played in 2 regular season games, and that was with the Panthers. So while he may be, the Trace McSorley kind of like fan shit that happened with him, I can't really speak on his NFL experience because he's only played 2 regular season games. So we'll look to see what that competition looks like for that quarterback 3 position, because I know he ain't playing over Kenny Pickett, and he sure as shit's not going to play over Hurts. Now, I like Tanner McKee as that QB3. I like his potential, especially after showing it in the preseason. However, Greer has history with Kellen Moore being on that offense, so it'll be interesting to see how this pans out. On the other end of free agency, the Eagles have parted ways with wide receiver Quez Watkins, who signed a deal with the Steelers. While Watkins was a speedster, he had trouble retaining catches, looking like the Chiefs receiving core out there sometimes. The Watkins experiment officially ends, and the Eagles will look to see if the replacements in Devontae Parker, Paris Campbell, maybe somebody from the draft, I don't know, becomes worth it. Next, newest Eagles running back Saquon Barkley made an appearance on the New Heights podcast hosted by the Kelsey brothers Jason and Travis. Jason makes a comment to Saquon saying it'll be fun to watch him play this upcoming year, and Saquon chimes back with, "You know you don't have to just watch, right?" jokingly hinting at getting Jason back in the game. Would this idea be awesome to see Kelsey just absolutely trucking somebody while Saquon runs behind him? That would be sweet. However, obviously that isn't going to happen. Kylie would absolutely annihilate Jason if he went back into the game. But I already love the chemistry that Saquon is having with the Philly community and the positive energy he's just bringing into the city, man. I can't wait to see him absolutely shred defenses in this midnight green. Okay, y'all, we're going to look at the main topic of tonight, these most recent NFL rule changes. The NFL recently approved some rule changes to take effect this season. I'm going to list off some of them because there's quite a bit, but I'm not going to go into all of them. Some are pretty self-explanatory, but I'm going to list what I think are some of the biggest rule changes or adaptations, whatever you want to call it, and give my take on them in a rules version of bless up versus mess up. For those who are new to the show or who just got in maybe after the regular season, the episode after each of those regular season games, I would give players a bless up or mess up, in which the bless up was highlighting an excellent game that they had, while the mess up was commenting on a less than stellar performance one or two or more players may have had. So let's dive into these rules. I'm going to give off the rule and then give off my verdict. The first rule we're going to look at, and probably the one that's being most talked about right now, is the new kickoff rule. So basically, both the kicking and the receiving team will have almost all of their players downfield and lining up 5 yards apart. And the kicker will kick from their own 35 like usual, but the players lined up cannot move until the returner on the receiving team catches it or it hits the ground. One or two returners will be available. Likely it'll be two because we don't know what the situation is going to look like in the NFL. So to have just one might be not the smartest idea to start out. But if the ball goes out of bounds, it'll be placed on the 40-yard line. If it goes in the end zone or out the back of the end zone, the touchback is going to be at the 30-yard line now instead of the 20. Now, my overall verdict, this is a bless-up rule. We're actually going to see some kick returns for once. According to some article that I had read on like Yahoo Sports or whatever, less than a quarter of kickoffs are returnable, while the other like 75 to 80% whatever result in a touchback or go out of bounds or some other shit. This will make the kick returner's job actually feel valuable because at this point they're just standing at the end of the field and crossing their arms or whatever to signify like, hey, it's going in the end zone, it's going to touchback or whatever. It's ridiculous. But they can actually do their job now. They're going to be able to return kicks. Something I feel like I haven't seen a lot of last season. Plus, this shit's going to be kind of entertaining if you think about it. You know, they're going to like line up across from each other like fucking gladiator style or like, you know, 18th century like war stance where they all just lined up in front of each other for some stupid ass reason. But they'll be able to evenly align with each other before just going at it and shit. I was hyped seeing this in the XFL. I imagine it's going to be even more entertaining, though, in the NFL when you have, like, the best of the best players doing this shit. And to top it all off, it's another effort in preventing injuries because you're not just having players, like, kind of, like, blindly running into each other from, like, 20 yards out, which makes the game safer and better, in my opinion. So, overall, this is a bless-up rule. The next rule we're going to look at is a third challenge. This will allow coaches to have an additional challenge opportunity in each game, in which currently they only have two. And for those maybe new to football, new to the podcast, whatever it may have, and you don't know what a challenge is basically anytime a coach can challenge a call by the ref. It's usually off of like, was a player inbounds when the ball was caught? Did they cross the line before they became a runner after a pass? Was their knee down before the end zone and like reaching an arm out? Basically, challenging a call that probably was not the right call to make, but there has to be substantial evidence or else you lose the challenge. So my verdict on this, and this might be a little controversial, I think this is also a bless-up rule. Now, I say it's controversial because, you know, if there's a challenge against our team, you know, we're going to hate this because it's another opportunity for us to not get away with a play that could have gone questionable. But on the flip side, if our coach makes a third challenge or a challenge and then we, you know, have the call go our way, we're going to love this shit. There are so many times that the refs have fucked a game over with a bad call or a bad no call. With the extra challenge, this will give teams a chance to right a potential wrong when the refs inevitably make a shitty call. Because let's be real, the past few seasons we've had with, you know, this reffing crew or whatever, it's been pretty fucking questionable. So this third challenge will give both teams another opportunity to essentially call out some bullshit. Okay, the next rule we're going to look at, this is the banning of the hip drop tackle. Now, in layman's terms, this type of tackle involves the tackler grabbing the player being tackled by the hips and engaging in like a twisting, you know, kind of drop down motion to bring them down to the ground. And my verdict on this is also a bless up rule because listen, some people think this is part of the NFL becoming like too soft. You know, you have all these like fucking, I don't even know, those keyboard redneck dudes being like, the NFL's getting too soft, like, you know, being a bunch of pussies out there. Some ridiculous shit because they think there's some goddamn, like, alpha male, oh, I'm gonna lift a car up over some shit. I don't even know. Just dumb, illogical shit. But at the end of the day, these players are people just like you and me, with family and friends and careers, and like having their bodies fucking intact and not having a torn Achilles every 1 to 2 seasons. Why would you put people in risky situations like that by not trying to make the game safer? I mean, for fuck's sake, Mark Andrews of the Ravens lost his entire season due to an injury by this type of tackle. This type of tackle is also nearly 25 times more likely to result in injury compared to a traditional tackle. Now, I love football, don't get me wrong, but I also love it when the players are safe. That's a no-brainer. This rule is definitely a bless-up. The next rule we're going to look at is extending the trade deadline, previously from week 8, and it'll now be week 9. Verdict on this is a bless-up, and I feel like I don't need to explain what this rule is. It's pretty much a fucking given. But this will help teams, especially those who become injury-stricken, such as the Eagles last year, and need an extra boost on their roster. If other sports organizations, such as the MLB, the NBA, the NHL, can have some right smack in the middle of the season drama slash trades, why can't the NFL? Who knows, maybe next year they'll extend it to week 10. One can only hope. Alright, looking at our next rule, involves the emergency third quarterback. Basically, a QB can be elevated from the practice squad in an unlimited amount of times. Typically, you know, NFL rosters carry 2 when they have one like on the practice squad, or they keep inactive or whatever. Or they have 3 and one keeps inactive and they have one on the practice squad. And different teams do it different ways. I don't really know every team. But the verdict on this one is a bless-up. If you are the 2022 49ers, you wish this rule was made 2 years ago. And I don't mean any disrespect by it. Just because of the situation, I imagine I wish you guys had this. They had to go down to a 4th-string quarterback at one point, and even he got injured because the other 3 were injured from various different situations. This rule change will help create a solidified emergency quarterback option, kind of similar like how they have like an emergency goalie option in hockey. You know, sometimes it's the fucking vending machine guy, without having to run the risk of elevating a quarterback too much and then not having one when it's needed the most, since you can only elevate a player from the practice squad 3 times before you either have to keep them on the practice squad or sign them to the active roster. I'm sure teams are happy about this change, and honestly, especially for the 49ers, I bet you're very, very excited. The last rule I have to talk about on this list is exclusive streaming services games. The verdict on this is a big fucking mess up. The season opener with the Philadelphia Eagles playing in the Browns, I think it is, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, is going to only be streaming on Peacock. This is in addition to the other streaming restricted games that will occur throughout the season, like, you know, another Peacock game, Amazon. There might be a game on Paramount Plus. There's some games on Paramount Plus already, but watch there be ones on like Freevee TV or some random shit like that next time. Listen, NFL, y'all already got a fuck ton of money. Why force consumers and or businesses such as like restaurants or sports bars to spend more money in an already fucked up and inflated economy just to watch their favorite team play? It's fucking stupid. Wasn't the original point of streaming services to cut down on the costs that cable had in the first place? Nowadays, you need like 15 subscriptions for all the different shit that you want to watch, including sports, and it's basically now the new cable. But anyway, falling back to the original topic, they want to make the games more accessible. I get that for the general market, but make them accessible for the general market, especially the international market. You want more viewers, but you're making it more inconvenient for those viewers to watch these games. Make it make sense, please. And all right, y'all, that's actually it for this week's episode. A short one this week. So if you enjoyed this and are still listening, I appreciate your love and support that you've had for the show. If you like this episode and are new and want to hear different episodes, don't forget to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Player FM, wherever you get your podcasts, we're on there. You can also follow us on social media at Second and 15, a Philadelphia Eagles fan podcast on Facebook, and on Instagram with the handle at Second and 15. That's 2ndand15. Once again, thanks everybody for listening. I hope y'all enjoy your weekend. We are about 1 month away from the NFL draft, which seems like a long way away. But in the meantime, we still got some March Madness basketball going on. So if your brackets haven't been busted yet, mad props to y'all for your futuristic ass predictions. But, you know, it's some entertainment that we got going on before the big draft. So don't forget to stay fly like an eagle. And as always, go Birds.